Dr. Quinn McKay has a master's and doctorate degree in business administration from Harvard. He's consulted with numerous national companies, including General Electric, General Motors, Boeing, and others. He's also taught classes, chaired departments, or been a dean at Texas Christian University, University of Utah, BYU, Weber State, as well as universities in Switzerland, Nigeria, and Burma. Dr. McKay offers business people keys to both help them recognize situations where they must protect their integrity and also solve the dilemma many of us encounter when our personal ethics and business ethics conflict. Please welcome Dr. Quinn McKay.
After hearing all those marvelous presentations of Mel and Kelly, I'm not sure why I'm here or what we're going to do. But let's be bold and try. Are you bold enough to try? All right. By the way, I congratulate you on the work you're doing and the challenge you're doing. I'm not sure how I fit in with it when you get through here, but I'm just one of Bessie's boys, so we can tolerate it all right. But this is kind of a universal thing that I think is a challenge in our whole society, not just in your profession. But ethics is a problem in families. It's a problem in government. It's a problem everywhere. And we maybe ought to challenge it. Is there anything else you want to know about Quinn McKay before we plow into this? Any questions to ask? All right, then. One thing about Quinn McKay. A few years ago, Fortune magazine began publishing this magazine, FSB, Fortune for Small Business. It was an interesting first edition, the very first time they published it. The Art of Lying was the cover story. Now, if you don't mind, if you would read to these people one line in this, Charlene.
Sure. Quinn McKay is not a liar.
Very well done. I know that's not the Bible, but it must be the next thing to it. And as we go through our discussion for the next few minutes, and in the workshop, I want you to keep this in mind, what Charlotte just read. All right, then tell me something about you for just a minute, if you would. How many of you know, by show of hands, how many of you know right from wrong? Wow. How many of you don't know right from wrong? JR, you've got a pure audience here. Why do you need me? All right. The first book that I published on this subject had a very useful title. Is lying sometimes the right thing for an honest person to do? How many say yes? Is someone taking names? How many say no? How many don't know? I thought you said you knew right from wrong.
I was wrong.
How can you be so right and still be so wrong? This takes some challenge to do. Now, I'm not here to win any awards, but let's see if we can kind of set the stage and look at a couple of expectations if possible. Maybe I'll take Mel's approach. He confessed how he got started into his sales business, and this may give you a little understanding of my approach to this. I got involved in this when we were living in Texas some years ago. TCU had an annual two-week executive development program. They brought in top CEOs, and these CEOs spent 2 weeks on our campus. At that time, I was teaching strategic leadership, which is primarily my field, along with interpersonal relations. I had been outlining in my presentation about strategic leadership, there are four elements: what you might do, what you can do, what you want to do, and what you ought to do. That one fourth one was an ethical question, whether you should do this or that. After about 2 years, the director of the program came and said, Quinn, would you mind spending a half a day just on the fourth one, what you ought to do? So I prepared for a 3.5-hour presentation. I thought I'd be a good teacher. A good teacher, you know, takes a pretest, then teaches, and takes a post-test to see if anything happened. I did that. I started out in asking these 29 executives, and sorry, ladies, they were all men at that time, how many of you regard yourselves, in fact, you ought to be asked too, how many of you regard yourselves as honest professionals? Oh, what a pure audience. How many of you are dishonest? I don't know now. I feel guilty using 25 minutes here. They're so pure. Well, I asked this 29, how many of you regard yourselves as honest businessmen? 29 hands went up. How many are dishonest? Not a hand went up. After 3.5 hours of looking at incidents, business situations, I posed the same questions. How many of you regard yourselves as honest businessmen? 3 hands went up. How many of you engage in dishonest, deceitful practices? 26 hands went up. What happened in that 3.5 hours? Well, let's let it just be a warning to you for right now. How many of you have been exposed to me before on this subject? Now, all right, you're going to have a little bit of repetition here, but I'm sure you've all forgotten what we did before anyway, so it'll be new to you. Our children gave us some things to ponder. One of the things to ponder was, usually a clear conscience is evidence of a bad memory. In fact, you need to think of some few things to ponder. The early bird may get the worm, but the second mouse gets the cheese. Think about it. Some of you worry that this world really sucks. If it didn't, we'd all fall off. In fact, if you get scared half to death, what happens if you get scared half to death twice? Worry about it. All right, I have 3 expectations here we'd like to do in the next few minutes. Number one, I don't expect all of you to go out of here being honest people all the time. If this next week you will do 2 or 3 things with more integrity and honesty than you would have done had you come to this session, I will feel it a great success. We're going to spend some time learning how to think about ethics. The most common response I have when we make presentations is, oh my gosh, I never thought about that. And I personally think that's one of the real difficulties in our society today. We don't think about the subject seriously. I'm glad they brought this water here, in case they get involved with a dry lecturer. This will help us do. All right, the third thing is, we want to learn to think. We want to just anticipate and expect that we will up our integrity, our ethical behavior, just a bit, not looking for perfection at all. The third thing is, I have found when people become aware that they're not behaving ethically, they often solve the problem themselves. I'm amazed at the number of people who perform unethically and are just not aware of it at all. We'll explore a little bit of that, okay? And I don't apologize. I believe moral muscle is built by wrestling, not reciting prissy preachy platitudes, but by wrestling. And I hope what we can do, we'll introduce it at this session, and in the work session we'll give more structure how to wrestle with this subject constructively. Be helpful to you. A few A little while back, Merriam-Webster put their dictionary on the internet. Within a very, very short time, they had 7 million hits. One of the employees of Merriam-Webster was very interested. What words are these people hitting? So he pulled out and identified the 10 most frequently hit words on the dictionary. The 10th most frequently hit word was a word, inept. You all know what that means. But the number one word hit more than any other, integrity, which leads me to believe we Americans neither know how to spell it nor do we know what it means. Anybody help me? What does integrity mean?
Doing the right thing
at the right time. In fact, this is what I hear everybody say. Quinn, just do the right thing. Well, we'll have a look and see what that means. Integrity has three basic elements in it. The first element in, well, not the first one, but one of the key elements in integrity is what we call a wholeness. I call it the engineer's definition. That chair has integrity, meaning that all the parts are designed that they support one another to hold it up. A unity, if you please. A second element of integrity, and here's a challenge for you, constancy. People that are so constant in their behavior that they are predictable. Now this raises a major problem. Those people who advocate situational ethics have a problem claiming integrity, because situational ethics does not make you predictable. A person of integrity, they live by principles in such a way, if you know their principles, you can predict how they'll behave in any situation. So situational ethics creates a problem. Well, the mafia fit those two. Every definition in every dictionary I've looked at, the number one element of integrity is honesty. So we'll need to and want to take a look at that before we're through. What this partially means here is, two, is you really walk the talk. My actions is supported by my behavior. Now, I raised this with a group of people at BYU Education Week a few years ago, that they should only be expected to do one or two things with more integrity after they left than before when they came. The end of the week at my last session, on the table up in front, I found this envelope. When I looked inside of it, I found this handicap parking sticker cut in half with a note on the back from a dentist in California. He says, Quinn, success is yours. I am one person who took one principle home and made one righteous change in my life. A dentist who had had difficulty finding a parking place, and he wangled a handicapped parking sticker and solved his parking problem till Quinn McKay came along. I took this home to my wife to explain, which I thought was interesting. Her reaction was, did he have to cut it in half? I was invited to BYU to speak to about 40 people who raise the $130 million every year that BYU needs to keep going. I shared that with them, that this experience I just shared with you. I had a two-hour session with them. Near when the first hour was ending, a young lady was sitting over here on my left, and she looked fidgety, and she finally held up her hand. She says, Quinn, this has been a very difficult 45 minutes. I don't know whether to get up and go out or not. And then she explained that a year and a half ago, she had had a broken leg, and she got a handicap parking sticker. And when she got well and off of her crutches, she just threw it in the glove compartment. And that morning when they came to the seminar, they were a little bit late, and the four of them in the car, and she knew that the boss was very demanding about being on time, and she remembered that handicapped parking sticker, so she says, I didn't know whether to get up and go out and move my car or what to do. Anyway, she sat through it, and 5 days later, I got another handicap parking sticker cut in half. I'm making a collection. In fact, after she confessed, I'm not a father of that kind, so it's not a confessional. A young man in the audience said, "Well, now, I've got a problem." He says, "I came here knowing that I had to be on time and couldn't find a parking place, and I parked in the 30-minute parking because I knew that I would be safe for nearly 2 hours. By the time they come to mark my tires and came back again, I would be safe." What do you think of his honesty and integrity? Worry about it if you don't mind. Okay, I need to ask the question of you. How did Val Southwick get in the position that he's in? Do you know who Val Southwick is? He confessed a year ago to the largest scam in Utah history, $180 million. I was fascinated because 2.5 months before he confessed, I was with his church leaders, and they vowed to me what an honest, reliable man he was. In fact, you need to find out, and I am still searching, how come we have such problems? People say most business executives are honest and you can trust them. There are only a few bad apples. If that's the case, how come so many of our prime, premier companies in this country have been caught with their hand in the scandal cookie jar? Some of you are too young to remember a name by the name of Arthur Anderson. Company has disappeared. KPMG, who took their place on the honored list of CPA firms. Boeing Airplane, Coca-Cola, Merrill Lynch, Hewlett-Packard. How come these noble companies, if it's only one or two bad apples, have we had this trouble with? All right, we can get down pretty fast talking about ethical behavior. Ever heard of a guy by the name of Joe Wilson? What do you think of his behavior? Spot on. Do you all agree? We need some people who will stand up for doing the right. I'd like to read you a statement from a CEO of one of Fortune's 50 largest companies. And this was published in Business Week. In fact, I like the name of this CEO, and you'll see it fits. His name is Jeff Bible. Said he, "There's going to be a day of judgment. If there isn't a day up there, it's when you're lying on your deathbed and you're going to say to yourself, well, what did I achieve in my life? It's not how much money you've made or how big your house is or how many cars. It's what did I do to make the world better? That's what it's going to come down to." How would you like to work for an executive of that caliber? Anybody here like to work for Jeff Bible? What company is Jeff Bible the CEO of? Philip Morris Tobacco Company, whose products kill 250,000 people every year prematurely. We know that about 500,000 people die prematurely of tobacco products in our country, and he has nearly half the market. Talk is cheap. And if we want to get someplace, we need to get below the talk level if we're going to make something happen. All right. Let's take a look. When you go to analyze something, what do? You take it apart and look at the parts. I have taken apart the whole thing of honesty. What are the parts to honesty if you're going to worry about honesty? I've got 13 of them. Which, by the way, when I submitted my manuscript to the publisher, 2 days later, the editor called me, published 12 principles for higher returns. She said, "Quinn, you've either got 12 or 14. We're not going to publish anything with 13 in it." How do you like that for scientific management? All right, just quickly. There are 13. We'll mention two right now. One, Dr. John Worthley, who's written a lot about ethics, he's written, "Most discussion about ethics in institutions is just prattle." You know what prattle is? That noise little infants make that has no meaning to it. We're going to look at this one here in just a second. If you're going to be a person of integrity, you better learn how to handle the four devilish devices of deceit. 4, learn how to manage pressure. 5, beware of incremental morality. We'll discuss these in the workshop. You and I all live with two different standards of ethics, and that's what gives us problems. There are no gray areas. We'll talk about this one in our workshop too. Integrity requires skills. Most people don't know that. If you're going to be honest in integrity, just be honest. The perils of whistleblowing. Know the law of obligation. Intriguing. Trust. When is a promise a promise? And that has to do with us. Just live the golden rule. Is lying sometimes the right thing for an honest person to do? We'll get to some of those when we get here a little closer. But let's introduce them if we can. We'll talk about the prattle. This is what I hear all the time. Just do the right thing. That's okay. I'm happy to do it. My biggest problem is, what is the right thing to do? Let's look at number 2 here for just a moment. Accepting what Fortune magazine says about Quinn McKay, let's test Quinn McKay's honesty right here and now so we can get a point across. Now, we want to test Quinn McKay's honesty. Is there one volunteer that can just help me for a minute to test Quinn McKay's honesty? Okay, would you mind standing right there just a minute? And what is your name? Mark Barlage. I like that name. Now, we're testing Quinn McKay's honesty. Mark, have you ever lied?
Yes.
And remember, we're testing my honesty. Now, if I go out here later today and somebody approaches me and they say, do you know Mark Barlage? And I say, yes, I've met Mark. And they say, what can you tell me about Mark? Would I be speaking the truth if I said, yes, I've met Mark? He's an admitted liar. How many say I would be speaking the truth if I said, yes, Mark is an admitted liar? How many say I'm lying? You mean the rest of you don't know whether I'm lying or telling the truth? All right. This raises a real problem. And maybe of all these 13, this may be the most important one of all. You've got to have a working definition of what you mean by honest or truthful, or there's no way you can measure it. You need a way to measure it. What is your definition of honesty? Now, I suggest to you, you go back to your business, to your family. You don't have another discussion about ethics and honesty until you get a definition that's measurable, that you can measure when a person's honest or dishonest. Without that, we're just engaging in prattle. I would suggest that your organization, your association, what's the Grant Taggart's definition of honesty? Now, I ran across one years ago. I think it's a whale of a good definition. I wish I had never encountered it. It's too heavy a burden for me to bear. Yes, I'm happy to share it with you today. Robert Louis Stevenson, years ago, he died young. Anybody know who Robert Louis Stevenson was? He's an author. Treasure Island, Kidnapped, Children's Garden of Verses. He wrote a short essay once called Truth of Intercourse, talking about the social relationships between people. And in it he said this, to tell the truth is not just to state the facts, but to convey a true impression. Let me repeat it. To tell the truth is not just to state the facts, but to convey a true impression. What that means is, whenever Quinn McKay fails to convey a true impression, then he's lying. I dare say that I would be lying about Mark if I started telling people that Mark is an admitted liar. Why? See, most people uses a definition, just as long as you stick with the facts, you're being honest. That is inadequate in our society. What we know about the use of the language and the magic, and just Marmella can tell us how this works. Any good salesperson knows about what words you choose. It conveys message, and one that seems to be a parallel or a synonym often doesn't. You might call a young lady a chick, but I'll bet you doesn't call her a hen. And this language barrier, this statement that I used about Mark is an admitted liar, factually correct, but it conveys the impression that Mark is worse with the truth than the average person is, which I dare say is not valid, and hence is a deception. In our workshops this afternoon, we're going to look at what a marvelous profession this is. Look around you today. Have you followed the discussion about health care reform in the United States? Is what Joe Wilson said in front of the public press about the president, was that a true statement? What was it he said? You're a liar. Well, then it would be true what I said about Mark, wouldn't it? He's an admitted liar. But the reason I said that is that it didn't convey the true impression. And we accuse the media of slanting the news all the time. Is it because they don't use the facts? Anybody here ever run a political campaign? When you run a political campaign, is it all right if you point out all your opposition's weaknesses and never mention one of his positive qualities? It works. It wins elections. Calling them liars and other kinds of things. It must be good. It wins elections. We do it every day. This is why it takes skills if you want to be an honest person. We may have time to look in some of those this afternoon. I don't know. But would you be aware? May I challenge you again? You don't have another discussion of ethics or honesty without agreeing on a definition. In your families, when you're together with your children, you ought to have an understanding with them what you mean by that word, and they can get implanted. I believe that's a very good definition, even when I cannot live up to it all the time. It gives me a guide in life, a compass, if you please, and if I have to deviate from it, I have some place to get back to. Without a definition, oh, I really didn't lie. Then we get started out in space and we float to who knows where it's going to end up. I'd like to suggest to you, if you want to be serious about ethics, you start doing some analyzing. I think here are 13 good places to start. I think even if you can't do it all next week, if you'll just do two or three things, get off the prattle. Is lying sometimes the right thing to do? Visualize. You're sending your daughter off for a career with the CIA. Is the last advice you give her, dear, whatever you do, be honest with everybody you meet? Should you always be honest? That needs to be. Explore it. Think it through. Don't just recite it. Just do the right thing, I don't think is adequate in our society. We need to do more than that. Think about it, if you would. Become aware of things, if you will. Don't be afraid to wrestle. We have some concepts that will help us wrestle. Now, I see that my time is up. Thanks, Mark, for helping and responding. I didn't mean anything personal by that. I hope I haven't destroyed your reputation, as it were. The other thing, I know a speech to be immortal doesn't have to be eternal, so I quit. Thank you very much.